on the West Coast, especially the Pacific Northwest and up into British Columbia, you have probably noticed lots of smoke. If you haven't, you haven't been outside. It was smoky here for a period. It had to have been 4 or 5, maybe 6 weeks. You didn't see any stars at night, nothing. I mean, this is a very large area. As of September the 10th, well over 2 million acres of land had been charred across the west part of the country. Lots of smoke. $172.5 million in costs. 4,000 personnel are working the fires, some right now. 200 aircraft. It goes on and on. Lots of money, lots of fires, lots of loss of property, and sometimes, unfortunately, worse than that. Now, the issue of the smoke is one that I know a lot of people in this area were wearing face masks to try to keep the smoke minimized, whether they got them in a department store or they had a more professional model. There were a lot of masks to be seen. I don't know that they were aware of the fact that they were doing something doubly good for themselves. Because for the last 6.5 years, because of Fukushima Daiichi, the rains and the moisture and the winds and the dust and the particulates that have been blown across the Pacific from west to east and landed on the west coast and all the way into and then across the country have been bringing radioactivity with them. This radioactivity was so intense right after Fukushima that UC Berkeley, which reported, and I've said this many times, month after month, on the amount of radioactivity that was being discovered and discerned through various clinical experiments and research in the groundwater, in the soil, in crops, in the trees, in the animals. They didn't test us, but they tested everyone else. You know, a lot of those smaller animals that run around and consume other animals, or if they're omnivores, they just eat grass. They were finding radiation in the cow's milk in Vermont dairy cattle less than 2 weeks after Fukushima. That means it went all the way across country, rained out of the sky onto the ground in the pastures where the cows were eating, was eaten by the cows, and digested, and then showed up in the milk. That's pretty darn amazing. I know they were measuring radioactivity on the ground in New Mexico just days after the Fukushima catastrophe. So the point is, 6.5 years of buildup in the ground, in the soil, and obviously in the plants that live in the soil. They uptake the radiation through the water and moisture, deposit it in their leaves and their bark, in the limbs. Berkeley was announcing that they were finding routine detectable levels of radioactivity in pine needles of pine trees all up and down in various areas along the West Coast. It's never stopped. So the smoke from the fires is radioactive. You burn a tree that's got radioactivity in its pine needles, or chaparral or manzanita, it doesn't matter. And where does the radiation go? Right up in the air in the smoke. Where does it come down? Wherever it wants. What happens to it? It gets breathed. It's kind of like it's reigniting the whole radioactivity issue. It's recirculating it. It's picking it up. It's moving it around. This is really bad. And not one single story did I see in any media about radiation in the smoke. Only here. I'm not trying to claim any greater special credit. I'm just telling you, this is common sense, but nobody would talk about it. Dana Durnford is back with us tonight, one of the truly great environmentalist radiation experts on Fukushima and in general on the extinction level event, which we appear to be facing. He is up in British Columbia, and he's standing by right now. Hello, Dana. Welcome back.
Hey, hi, Jeff. Thank you.
You're welcome. So you knew right away when you saw the smoke from the fires, whether you're underneath the smoke or you saw it on the news, you knew, and I knew, that that smoke was radioactivity. It had to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yes. We have talked about this on other shows, for sure. how we're going to have forest fires going to re-liberate this stuff back into the environment. But
yep.
I don't know if we talked about having just the biggest recorded fires in history showing up within a couple of years, part, but we might have. But sure enough, there it is. And so, like, out where I'm to in British Columbia, for anybody who's not familiar, 1,000 miles away from the big fires, we lost sight of the islands for weeks and weeks and weeks, and then parts of the islands for the rest of it. All summer long, you can never see the whole island, not a single time.
Wow.
Yesterday was the first tiny bit of rain we had the whole summer,
uh-huh.
and still misty, of course. It wasn't enough rain to bring it down. So the plume is continent-wide at this stage. And
say that again, Dana. The plume of smoke, radioactive smoke, is continental-wide.
Yeah, right, for sure. And then as that gets washed down, it washes back down to our coastlines, through the lakes, rivers, estuaries, everything else. Now, forest fires, of course, you can look at studies of how forest fires work from Asia to come to North America. There's lots of studies into how it adds to the pollution index, automobile pollution, industry down there. But also forest fires are very big particles, and it's so unusual to see them do what we're seeing nowadays. I don't know if I can point to a record of – in fact, I know I can't actually – of that plume. And so they hid that plume away, for sure. Absolutely. They've done everything they could to avoid talking about the plume of smoke, let alone the radioactive. Certainly, I have never heard anybody. The last time I heard it mentioned was during the Fort McMurray fires here in Canada. Last year, was it, or the year before? And that came up. There was a lot of radiation known sequestered into the forest there from Chernobyl, apparently.
Uh-huh.
And so that had come up in an article during that, but this time around, of course, you're not going to hear nothing about it because there was so much coming in. And so anybody's not familiar with this, this is why Jeff is saying what he's saying, folks, is there was so much that came in for so long, the chain reaction is consuming ground and rock and steel and rebar and atomizing it. They sprayed salt water for, say, minimum was around 48 days on the reactors.
Yeah, it was almost 2 months they sprayed it. And the guy that ordered it to be sprayed was called a hero in the beginning. He didn't know what he was doing.
He wasn't supposed to do it.
No.
Yeah, they told him not to do it. See, and if you look at the science of this one, what you find out was they had no choice.
They didn't.
they had no choice. So this was they done it for the cover story, is what it was really done for. And the helicopters couldn't go in. The helicopters went back, but these people that went in, you're talking about, they're the heroes. They're heroes.
Right.
Who thought they could do something. And the same thing happened in Chernobyl where they threw people at it with the sandbags, the 600 helicopter pilots. That only got them 2 extra days or something. And in Japan, they already recognized this. The industry said, no, you're just throwing people. You're throwing these people away, they'll get a lot of traction. And so they reached out right away to the homeless and then the day workers and stuff like this. That's what they've been using ever since at Fukushima, right? 260,000 people for the ice wall, right? This is what they come out and say. 260,000 for the ice wall, people.
Unreal.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And then the money that they're talking about, when you divided it out of 260,000 people, you got $1,000 each. So that's if they didn't buy any material for the ice wall, everybody got $1,000 each. And so this is ludicrous assertions, but this was repeated verbatim throughout the media. The forest fires in North America are going to have a full range of isotopes from many. Now, the pine needles themselves is like what you were talking about, so important, because a lot of people get pine needle tips for teas, and that's so dangerous at this stage. We see numbers that are just
– I didn't know that. They have pine needle tip tea?
Right, yeah. And especially in Japan, they're really notorious for doing it down there.
Huh.
But they do it in North America, of course, traditionally. And also, the forest here is so dense. There's so much of it. It's such a vast,
right,
incredible forest.
Huge amount of fuel.
And you got the, yeah, just incredible. And then, you know, there's so many forest fires going on. We only hear about two or three because they're around communities and they were massive. But there was an incredible amount of forest fires that they can never get to anyway, burning each year. So it's, but the plume issue was exceptional where you could, we lost sight of the islands all summer. I've never seen that.
Or even so the smoke, this, because of that stable smoke, artificial high pressure that was parked over us, that flows counterclockwise, it kept pushing the smoke counterclockwise up from these fires right over across you.
And all the way across Canada to the East Coast, too.
Yeah, yeah. 2 million acres 4 days ago were still burning. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's a lot on that they don't put into the equation for sure out there. And you get so many different varying reports from different depending on who's reporting on it. Because so, the forestry industry is well connected to the media out here. And so there's a lot of hoo-ha going on. But if you know a lot of the fallers and the people working in the forestry industry, you start hearing other kinds of stuff where they're out of business because of fires and they're not reporting and they don't know what's going on and no one's paying attention. It's in total collapse. Now, the forest fires, these, I've heard people in the last, say, 3 weeks or so say all of a sudden there was insects showing up. And it was their take was that the forest fire was pushing any insects out towards the coastline from the interior because it was so thick. And I don't know if there's any validity to that, but it wouldn't surprise me. And I'd noticed it there for a couple of weeks, and I was really happy to see it as usual. And it slowed back down again. And that just a couple of species that showed up. And so this was speculation and nothing to do with Fukushima, just on the smoke itself at that time with those people. I thought that was really interesting. They had noticed an uptick in insects that didn't exist. Perfect summer, blah, blah, blah. They got a swimming pool and everything else. They had a perfect summer. They didn't have to do this with the kids, do that with the kids and the pets and everything else.
Right.
And then the insects all showed up just for that short period.
By the way, did you know, I don't think you heard, but I washed my vehicle and didn't wash it for 6 weeks. And at the end of 6 weeks, I couldn't find more. I think there were two or three honest bug splats on the windscreen of the car. That's it. I'm not joking. There weren't.
Right. Yeah, there's a few people that's still going strong out there. That really resonates for people because it's easy for people to go check. And then it carries a whole lot of weight all of a sudden. And that's how it works in the real world anyway. People got to see with their own two eyes. But how many people is going to jump on a boat and take off and go explore the coastline or blah, 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 right?
Right.
And so it's – and understand what they're looking for and be aware of everything is different. But the insects is something everybody can wrap their mind around. I am going back out in 2 weeks. I'll be gone till next spring. And so
you're kidding.
I'm just about ready to go at this stage. Blew up, got a new Zodiac today, showed up finally, and a pump and a bunch of other stuff. Yeah, I'll be going out. The rest of the equipment will be here. An extra kicker will be here for the Zodiac.
But Dana, you said spring. That means you're going to be out there during the winter.
Yeah, I'm going to tow the operation. This is because I've already done it so much. So I'll be in the communities with the operation on the trailer. And I got the new Blackmagic, big, huge, massive camera now, and all kinds of equipment.
Wow!
So I'll be doing.
You're going to do presentations all up and down the coast.
Very high profile. Right now, I'm a very, very high ball operation. We had to rebuild it after all the gag orders, but it's okay. So we're back up to. And the point is to go ahead and repeat the study. It has to be done. And if I don't do it now, then who knows? And that was the opportunity. It's cheaper now. Fuel has come down now because it's not peak summer. You can get a hotel room sometimes now if you can afford it.
I understand. Yeah.
And then you don't have the – and, you know, it's a good timing to do it for sure.
But, Dana, hold on here. Now, this is fascinating. You're going to take the Zodiac. You're also going to trailer – you're going to trailer the Zodiac with you, put it in, go do your research – then put back in at night
on a ferry
on the trailer and then
there's a ferry after ferry to get around the coastline. So I'll be taking ferries back. And so I'll go up, do up Alaska area, upper Canada area. I'll go over to the Charlottes by ferry. And so the last time we shot over in the boat, we never, Like we did at one point use the motorhome and have vehicles and the boat and the trailer and a big crew, but it's so much money, so expensive, so hard to
Are you going alone again?
And so I'll be going alone because it's just a cost of fortune, Jeff. I can't come. I can't raise the money. We do have all the gear. See, and so we're good to go. It's impossible to get somebody to be able to do that job and commit to it.
No, you're the only one, period. There's no one else.
And if I don't do it, who's going to do it?
No one.
And right. And so it needs to be done. And the last time you pull into these communities, you're in the boat. So they didn't get to see the nuclearproctologist.org. They didn't really get to meet you. They didn't. And this time it'll be totally different because, you know, I have the big vest, this big vest. It looks and it has a robotic arm on it. And then the camera is about 12 pounds. So that sits on a robotic arm. And then I got a Segway so I can jump out of the vehicle. The vehicle's very high profile. I got a Hummer, a black Hummer, and then I got the big Coast Guard Zodiac is in tow. And so we really truly stand out. And that's the point of that, by the way. And you stand out and you got, you know, you look professional. The equipment that I use is all strictly professional. And the idea is to go out and just take away any doubt.
Right.
And come back with number one 4K, 60 frames a second on top of the kind of material that is just above and beyond. You got to match up to certain standards.
Wow. Excuse me, but what a difference between the first heroic effort. I mean, you made, went out by yourself
in crazy.
Gales. Just crazy stuff.
We're doing that no more.
Okay. Now,
that was desperation.
Well, whatever it was something that we wouldn't be where we are now if you hadn't made that sacrifice and gambled your life like that. Are you looking for venues now? Who's arranging the lineup of presentations you're going to make in all these small towns all the way up and down?
No, that's me. That's straightforward. I got this worked out pretty straightforward because I had a few trial runs already at it. So you go into these communities and you get off the ferry. You're very high profile anyway.
Yeah.
And you just ask questions of who's who and get talking to them and just hit them with the questions and ask them, will he get on video? And blah, blah, blah. But then you're going to arrange to do a presentation. You're going to go out and look at their coastline, come back, and then have that documentation brand new right off the ocean.
Their coastline. You're going to show them what their coastline is doing.
I'll go out for, say, 3 or 4 days right there, come back into their community and say, look, this is your coastline. Here's the pictures. Here's what it's like right now. And so I got color graded pictures up at my website right now. I done the color grading on them. I got color grading equipment now finally. And so that's really helpful, trust me, because you can I redo all the pictures of the reactors up there, Jeff. That's where the good go for you there right there at some point to take those pictures and play with them. They're color graded. They really tell the story. You can see they got beautiful fuel pool alongside the actual building, say number 4 pictures, married up pictures. It's really stunning. That'll help a lot of people be able to, so when they come to my website to see my site, they go to my website, it'll be impossible for them not to understand what I'm up to this time. Whereas before it was pretty confusing on my website. Now I got the documentation right on that front page for everybody. So when they do look at, search me and they'll find that information, then they'll get what's going on. That's interesting. And because we got these forest fires in the communities now and the coastline is going to get just unbelievable amount of radiation. Anything that was trying to stay alive during the tidal zone now is just going to get, it's going to be like the moonscape for sure this time. Because, there's only 5, 6, 7 species in most spots. And if that goes, it'll be absolutely naked. And this is, I think, all this particular summer, all of this material, so much radiation came across for so long. There was 220 million becquerels per liter of rainwater. And so this is catastrophic just a single time. And this was a plume stretched all the way from Japan all the way across North America. And it's documented. Now, that was at the iodine-129. There was also 20 million becquerels a liter. Simon Fraser University for 220 million becquerels. So 20 million becquerels a liter of iodine-131. And there would have been 1,000 other isotopes and that kind of numbers in there also. But we just needed one plume like that to really make the forest fires terrible. But it came at us hard for extreme long periods. And so when I see this dry summer, I was just at the very beginning of the summer, I said, if this goes dry all summer, this is going to be an unimaginable, a catastrophic event. And I suspect that we'll see incredible storms show up from this, particularly like lightning storms or something. And
well, you saw what you saw in Los Angeles, over 40,000 lightning strikes in one, I think, 24-hour period.
Yeah.
Huge, very bizarre.
Well,
San Francisco had one with, I think it was 11 or 12,000 lightning strikes in one day. So these are unprecedented.
There's no Hollywood movie out there like it.
No.
Out there with someone sitting there with his 40,000 going off in one day.
Please go to Dana's website. Click on his name, nuclearproctologist.org. Look it over. Become familiar with it. He's going on another trip for us. And I would like you to send him a message of encouragement and thanks. And you look at the site, look at the before and after pictures of the tide pool and the shoreline life, and it's gone. This is no joke. This is so big. There are no insects here. Dana, I go out and I'm looking.
Go to
Dana's website. I'm got to take a break here, and I want you just to go there, scroll down, and look at. There's sets of pictures. There's 2 by 2 by 2. There's 4 across, 2 each. Look at the before and afters. Just look at the before and after pictures. The mind will tell you what you're seeing, even if your eyes can't figure it out. You're seeing desolation. Catastrophic desolation.
And they're in the same spot. They're the authentic pictures.
Oh, sure. No, I got you. You don't play games. I understand. This issue of insects, I go outside, and I live in Oregon, and Oregon is a very well-rounded state in terms of environment, ecology, the biosphere, and all that. It's gone. I go out. I not only see no insects to speak of, and if I leave the porch light on at night, used to be swarming. And a couple of little bugs here and there, that's it. And I go out and listen in the morning or the evening, no birds. Quiet, no birds. Once in a while, a scrub jay or a blue jay, or at night, an owl. That's it. We used to have scores of species commonly available all over the place. They're gone. And if you, wherever you are living in the U.S., you're going to be impacted sooner or later if you haven't already been. We invite you to send in a note telling us about your bug and bird issue, what you've noticed this summer and into the fall, and we'll be happy to post it. Look on the right side. Look at the Fukushima boxes in the featured story section. We'll put yours there if you want to contribute. Please do. This is some of the research we can do as citizen scientists. Just look, watch, and then write down what you see. Dana and I will be right back after this. Okay, welcome back. Talking with Dana Durnford. I'm just looking at his homepage again. You've got to go there and take a look. The top picture is just gruesome. It shows Dundas, D-U-N-D-A. Is that how you pronounce it, Dana? Dundas Island?
Right, yeah, Dundas.
All right. Dundas Island is a few miles shy of the Alaska-Canadian border. It's up north there. This open ocean west coast habitat is considered the best Canada has to offer, the most magnificent. And pre-Fukushima, it boasted 5,600 plus different species, 6,500 invertebrates in the tidal zones without backbones, birds, mammals, insects galore. It's all there. Look at this picture. There's not one living thing there except a little bit of the flora above it. Barren rocks. It doesn't look like I can't believe it. It looks like Venus or Mars or something. It's that bad. And then scroll down and look at those two videos to see. They're very important. But then look at the slideshow or the picture show. Before and after, before and after. Remember, there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of different animal life forms that are gone. They're no longer, they don't exist. They're gone. They're not in retreat. They're gone. They're not coming back. It's over. This is an extinction event. Look at the pictures. Dana, with your permission, I'm going to take this picture show, put it on a separate page over here, and link right back to your site
at
the end of it.
I want this to be seen. That's the point of it. It's everybody should do that if you could. And I mentioned earlier, it was all from the same spot for people that were just running over to the page and having a look and weren't aware. And I just wanted to give them that impression before we went to the commercial, because but the whole coastline looked like those before pictures, and now it looks like the after pictures. It's something, you know, special that we had there, that there was no way to replace it. What's interesting for any marine biologist, their instant thought would be there's 4.3 million other species in the Pacific Ocean, and they didn't recede the coastline either. They didn't take an opportunity and try to take over that coastline. That would in the first couple of minutes, is going to leave their mouths wide open, and then it's going to sink in. So, you know, it's that simple, that if you plowed in a healthy coastline, then the creatures deeper on both sides would just fill the gap up. And when nothing fills the gap up and the whole coastline is finally said and done, like, you know, as Jeff, we covered on your show live many times from the boat even, we have to have a conversation. That's the only way to have a conversation is to – I have to go ahead and do the experiment the second time to make it authentic, or whatever you want to call it. The research has to be done
again to verify that nothing's changed.
And so
this is double blind is what you're doing, basically.
I have to go, yeah. Nobody else will go. And so it has to be done at some point, and sooner than later is the way it should be done. And of course, I was so burnt out. I was so smurfed up from all the harassment and everything else that, you know.
Look, Dana is living with 6 court gag orders on him right now. His freedom of speech has been removed because certain people don't like him talking about the catastrophe that has hit Canada and the West Coast.
Yeah, and that's
it's continental too. I shouldn't exclude anybody.
Yeah, all the way down. Yeah, I sent text a message for Kevin, but it was too late, I guess.
That's okay.
That was my fault. And Kevin had done the California, Yoshi had done the California coastline. We got all the reports of the California coastline in distress over and over and over. I've covered it certainly many times. And you can find California headlines up at my website, actually, dedicated just to California. Mm-hmm. And so California, huge radiation fallouts. And most of this can't be picked up with a Geiger counters is the whole thing, right? The stuff that we're finding on a Geiger counter is just a tiny fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a percent of the isotopes that are – that we – like we only hear about cesium and iodine. Right, and it always mentions the word plutonium, uranium.
How many radioactive elements do you think that there are? Isotopes, radionuclides? How many?
There's over a
couple hundred?
12,000. If you start looking at Russia, well, most of them are classified, see? And so, the sun makes fusion, and that's the elements we're familiar with.
Right.
And that's the stardust, per se. That's from the sun. That's called fusion. That stuff, like potassium-40 is fusion. But cesium and uranium and the iodines from a chain reaction, they have the same in nature, but they're not the same isotope. They're different on atomic scale and the weight. And then the isotopes are ionized and very dangerous ones. And so I won't go down the complicated side of that, but there was 160 natural ones on Earth, and there's about 12,000 man-made ones. This is why we have terrorist laws. This is why there's such a big screaming match over Yucca Mountain. But Yucca Mountain has to be vented. You have to vent everything. All these casts have to be vented for hundreds of years before
you
finally
have sarcophagus.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to. That's why Yucca's Mountain's about – you can only put so much heat in the mountain. And then you have to start to vent it too, see? And so
if
you're going to put more waste in, you got to put more vents there to make it work.
Uh-huh.
And that's a whole different engineering. But the whole point is you can't do that. Look at WIP. WIP had a truck fire, And then 9 days later, they said, oh, well, and now they hadn't gone back down for 9 days. They just got $1 million yesterday, $1 billion rather, yesterday for another 3 years. Even though they're not even functional, they can't go back down because they had a truck fire. Originally, nobody went down for 9 days. And so it's just hilarious. Obviously, that was the radiation release. And we have the videos of actually the plume coming out of the buildings, coming from the underground, coming up.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And it was put off, and everybody ignored it in Albuquerque and called it a truck fire. And so that's what they got done with Fukushima. I covered Fukushima 5 days a week. I just like not much as you don't get much news from North America, but there's little stuff leaks out over there, and they love the lie. They love the lie. They can't live without lying. And so as long as there's the Fukushima story, I'm in business because they're going to lie. And
it's
so
true.
All I got to do is take the lie and show the lie, and that fills up my day and because I'm busy anyway. But I enjoy that part. It's difficult. It's difficult enough, and so you gotta try to enjoy it. Otherwise, it'll drive you back crazy. And that's my little bit revenge each day for all the other stuff I do. Is I get to come out and call the industry sociopaths and monsters for an hour, and I go back to what I do, you know, so to speak, right?
Yeah, I shouldn't even laugh, but I gotta laugh. It's just that sick.
It's true.
Crazy.
Right? Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Yeah. You feel better if you do at least that, and I'm sure everybody else does that happens to catch it. They feel better because somebody actually came out and took a good sweep at them. But to me, it's such a shock that to see all the media and everybody else colluding. And so if they're colluding on one, what else are they colluding on? Obviously, you got to ask yourself those questions. And then it's just terrifying, the reality to sit there. Just, my goodness, for how long have they been doing this to us, I wonder? It's just, holy smokes, probably forever that they've been lying to us. And a nuclear reactor confirmed lies every step of the way for 74 years about nuclear. Mm-hmm. Every step of the way. Every article, every video, every presentation, and every institution, every media has been just totally choreographed to give them the same version. The version they're telling you now in the media about nuclear is the exact same one you had in 1950, the same one in the 60s, the same one in the 70s, the same narrative, word for word. And they're stuck in Groundhog's Day from 74 years ago. And so this is, look, you know, Paladin, which is the biggest uranium producer in Australia, just went under. Westinghouse just went under, which is a massive one. We had Areva
really?
Went under.
Now, I didn't hear about Paladin. So,
yeah, Paladin was – go ahead.
This is going to shift the uranium mining business to where?
Oh, they're far from done. They're trying to relicense reactors in Australia.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, or I'm sorry, because like Australia's not allowed to have a reactor.
Not a nuclear power plant type reactor.
Right,
no.
And hello to James and Lawrence down there, by the way, because I can't reply to the other messaging and to the other service. So I just threw it, because I know they're listening to your show.
That's fine.
And shout out for those. And Australia, you cannot have a power plant there by legislation. And so now they're trying to change the wording of their legislation, whatever it is, whether it's a and they're going to get rid of a couple of words where no power plant, basically. And then now they can have a power plant. Now, they lost a citizens' jury of 300 people for a nuclear dump there last year. Remember that fiasco? Oh, where they took 300 naive and gullible people they were hoping, and they fed them the BS artists for 3 months, and then got them to vote on having a nuclear waste rather than using it as science. Using dog studies or monkey studies or animal studies or something like that and saying, okay, killed all the animals in 5 years. Probably, you know, it is not like a banana, I guess, right? Because all these guys are going to tell you it's like a banana, and studies will prove definitively, easily, everybody got access to it if you go look for it. Certainly those people. And yet you never see them cite that in any of their...
No, never.
Their
so Australia is trying very hard to...
Change
put
the
a
law.
Nuclear power plant in there or more so
they
can take themselves out and commit suicide like the rest of the world.
Yeah,
very smart.
And they have a legislation not to do it because it's so dangerous anyway. They don't want it. In Australia, their forefathers, so to speak, said, no nuclear power plants. That's just crazy stuff.
Right.
And they put that as law because that was a good law. And now I just got to change those four words so nobody objects to it. And then Australia, I got faith in those people for sure. Japan, they've lost that country. And then these supercell storms that we've seen in the Pacific now spilled over into the Atlantic. And then I don't know if those big forest fires, those massive forest fires had something to do with this. I wouldn't surprise me at all.
What the connectivity is, Dana, either. But there are a lot of strange things going on. It's not global warming, so
don't buy into that stuff. Fukushima. This is Fukushima, folks.
Right.
This is a major influence of Fukushima. And I covered Hurricane Harvey. They didn't even tell people about Gust. And then for Hurricane Irma, it hit the Leeward Islands, Jeff, at 252 miles per hour.
Uh-huh.
And that's confirmation now in the last couple of days of those numbers. I was, wow, just wow. Now, I scooped literally for 14 days everything that went on the internet from footage that was shown up. And I got footage that is so stunning that is just right out of science fiction, but it's not. It was a real deal, authenticated, from just individuals. And I'm talking like, what are you going to – no houses are built for 252 miles per hour. You know, your car is not going to stay on the road at 252 miles per hour.
So that was the leading edge of the cyclone,
the
so to
came
speak.
In when it hit land.
The wall.
The wall.
The leading edge of the wall or whatever. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I would imagine I would imagine as gusts, you know.
Well, this new one, Maria, is now already a Cat 5. Another
one. Just jumped.
Yeah.
Seriously, wow.
8 hours, it went from 4 to 5.
And so they were calling Irma 155 a Cat 4, but 157 is a Cat 5. And so for hours and hours and hours and hours, they were telling everybody it was a Cat 4 when it was – a Cat 3 will gust to a Cat Category 5 and plus. And then the Category 5, of course, people were talking about a fictional Category 6 because there is none. And just to try to warn people how dangerous the storm was, media flipped out about it.
Mm-hmm.
But just 30 extra miles per hour would have been a Category 6. Mm-hmm. And so 155, 185 would have been gusting. My predictions were 220. It should be about 35%. And so you would expect to see 250 for sure. But you would expect the leading edges to be even quicker than that. And I'm sure it was, but we have confirmation at least up to 252. And that should really get everybody.
Well, they see that 250. Yoshi was on last week. He's written a new paper on this, and I hope all of you will go to his columnist box and read the paper, a summation of Irma and what's going on. But he said in the Asian typhoon alley, he said those typhoons commonly have winds of 250 miles an hour. They're huge, much bigger than these. So everything's intensifying.
Right. Fiji was over 200 miles per hour. Tonga had one, was 200 miles per hour, stripped every tree off the province. Philippines was confirmed 225. And who knows what the gusts were because nobody mentioned it. Mm-hmm. But 225, and so you're gusting an extra 35%. Well, in these winds, you might want to go 50% even as a gust because you're talking about something that doesn't play by the same rules that we've been using. They're a different equation now because of the death of the Pacific. The ocean's heated up like 7 degrees. And then the air itself is full of radiation through the evaporation.
Right.
You know, tens of thousands of miles of evaporation every day on the ocean.
I wonder how much. Well, you got to figure, I guess all we can figure by year, 6.5 years of accumulated radionuclides were liberated by these fires and went up in the air as smoke. So they were put back in the atmosphere, into the jet stream, in lower and higher wind elevations, moved around, and they're falling back down again. So it was like a huge new burst of radioactivity that was pushed over the U.S.
And it can stay, if you just had a single release and it hits the upper and lower troposphere, it could take a decade for it to rain out. And so with a constant, continuous release that was like much like the forest fire that we're talking about earlier, where it spanned at the entire continent, and now with the radiation release was the entire Pacific from the troposphere all the way to the bottom of the ocean, and then it was all the way across North America, and it was thinning out, but still vicious across the Atlantic and European countries. in the first 40 days in all the models, but the models weren't based on the actual inventories that went. But nevertheless, you know, it was something that is better to lowball it for everybody, because that way there's no way people can beat you up over or try to beat you up and mini you. So you lowball it, still dramatic, yeah. Yeah, the Force would have sequestered the majority of the low stuff. Now, when the clouds are coming in, as anybody knows, as clouds hitting the mountains, you can't see it, but they're actually physically going up the mountain. And then they're losing their payloads as they're climbing the Cascades, the Rocky Mountains. And this is where the trees are really predominantly. And then that washes back down and echoes. Now, the pollen each year is radioactive. The pine needles that are falling off and getting washed down and distributed, becoming fertilizer. And so this is really something. It's like you got you fill your hand up with paint and you're walking around, you're touching everything, and then that take that and wipe that on something, take that and wipe that on something, take that and wipe that on something until the paint is falling off you. And so all of it now gets blown around the room. It covers everything, but it stays wet forever. And so no matter what happens, it always transfers onto something else. And it never goes away in one sense. You can never clean it up. That's radiation, how it works in the real world, except it's invisible. And it just has an insidious property. That's why we have terrorist laws. And that's why we're so scared of it. It's not natural.
This was a huge radioactive event that no one talked about. All these fires. 2 million acres of incendiary radioactivity.
They emit too, yeah. And that's just drifting in summertime in perfect conditions.
Right.
And it becomes a haze throughout the whole country. The whole country gets infected.
Exactly.
It's like a nuclear Ebola. Except Ebola only attacks flesh. This time, a nuclear Ebola attacks everything, rocks and trees, not just insects and animals and people and the other 8 million species, but also objects. And so it's invisible, and you can't see it or smell it or hear
When you go on the trip, Dana, and you go into these small towns and give your presentations, medium towns or whatever size towns.
Sure, yeah.
I really am curious. I want to know what the people, and we'll stay in touch, of course, but I want to know what the people are going to say after the 6.5 years of all the work that you've done, we've done, to try to make people aware of what they are facing. I wonder if it's sunk in.
I think so. That's why I think I'm going, I guess, because I feel like the last time it was pretty rough, but this time there's no way to beat me in a or to defeat me in a narrative. I know my way around it, and so I can help anybody that's willing to listen.
Uh-huh.
And so I have all the equipment that I could hope for, per se, and it's just the rest of it is just you got to raise enough for do the coastline. That's not too bad at all. See, it's been a year and a half getting the whole operation up and running again.
Wow.
After taking all that abuse, basically, recovering.
Yeah.
And then now I'm at that point where I don't know why, but my brain is you gotta go and you gotta go do it right, and you can't wait till next year to do it. You gotta get it done. So I was hoping to get out in the summer, but that just wasn't realistic, as you had to build the whole operation, get everything so I can understand. Even the little Zodiac is gonna have a cabin on it. That'll be here tomorrow, hopefully.
Life of luxury. Well, good for you.
I'll be protected. It'll be comfortable. And I'll get the job, because you got so much equipment, you don't want to get it wet anyway. But that will make the difference, because last time I didn't. It was horrible.
Well, Dana was actually, and for those of you who are new to the program or may have missed it, he would do programs from the Zodiac live on the air during that last.
We're pretty fortunate.
Wow.
Should be able to pull it off again. Who knows this time?
Whatever you send me, whatever you want, I will.
I'll color grade it and everything before I put it out. So I'll be back in town every 4 or 5 days with the vehicle and operation and laundry and everything. It'll be pretty straightforward, and I'll have internet connection for sure. Because I learned from the last time.
Oh yeah,
I'm not going to put myself through that or anybody else again. Okay, hugs for everybody out there. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Thank you, my friend. You take care. We will talk, and we're going to cover this trip as much as you want to cover it right here.
Yeah, we'll send it off to you. You can be sure.
All right.
I'll be so proud, man. Thank you so much.
You bet. Take care, Dana.
Okay, take care, folks.
One of the bravest men of them all. And talk about public service. There it is. Above and beyond. Times 10. All right, that's Monday. You know what tomorrow is, and we'll be back. Talk to you then. Take care.